الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. With regard to our معمولات, we should try and have regularly our وظائف in معمولات. One very important وظيفة also is to read سبحان الله العظيم وبحمده ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله three times after فجر and after مغرب. سبحان الله العظيم وبحمده ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. It is narrated in the hadith, authentic hadith, that a person who recites this three times after Fajr, after Maghrib, Allah will save him of four deadly diseases. One is leprosy, where the meat of the body just starts falling off. Blindness, to become blind. Madness, to become mad. And paralysis. Four deadly diseases. Allah Ta'ala will save that person who reads this three times after Fajr and after Maghrib, in the morning and in the evening. Subhanallahi al-Azimi wa bihamdihi wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Three times. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. With regard to the month of Ramadan, we discussed Roza. Roza is one of the most major part by which Ramadan is identified. It is the month of fasting. It is known as the month of fasting. But we have to apply for the whole month of of Ramadan. Not only during the day, the fasting, but the whole month, every aspect, every split moment of Ramadan has got great, great value. And Allah Ta'ala has spread our ibadat also in all that. So if we take the whole, every aspect, then we'll get the full benefit of the month of Ramadan. If we just take one aspect, then we won't get that full benefit. For example, in the Arab lands, they don't have elephants. When an elephant went there, it was a big show to everyone to go and see what an elephant, live elephant, is like. In the process, some blind people also went to see. They also wanted to see what the elephant. But of course, their seeing is different by touch. So each one touched the elephant. So everyone, which part of the elephant he touched, and when he was asked to describe the elephant, he described it like that. The person who touched the legs of the elephant, he said the elephant is like columns, like pillars. A person who touched the top of the elephant, he said it's like a table. So everyone, how the person who touched the trunk, the tail, whatever one part he saw, according to his touch, that is how he described the elephant. So the month of Ramadan also, there are many Muslims who only keep roza, and that is all. They don't make tilawat. Lot of Muslims, unfortunately, many good of us who are sitting here also, we are very weak in our tilawat. Then there are many who make tilawat, but they don't make their tarawih. And some just make perhaps one or two nights tarawih, and the last one, two nights. And the rest of the month they don't make. Some make tarawih also, keep the rozas also, make tilawat, but other ibadat, there is the month of ibadat also. It is the month of qiyam during the day and qiyam during the night. So the qiyam of the night also, one is every night qiyam after Maghrib that we have awwabin. And then after Isha is qiyam al-layl. And in the late part of the night is tahajjud. And in Ramadan is another great ibadat of taraweeh, which is after Isha. So the qiyam of the night, many of us are negligent of that also. So that person, and then many other aspects of Ramadan. This month of sabr, a month of muwasat, to show kindness and love, a month of spending in the path of Allah. Lot of other things also in this month. So a person who endeavors to work on all the paths and every aspect of Ramadan he brings in his path. Just like it comes with regard to the miswak. Astiwako mitharatul lilfam. It is a cleanser for the mouth. Now many of us only use it on the teeth. Whereas the hadith says it's a cleanser for the whole mouth. So we should use it on our teeth also. Use it on our tongue also. Use it on our palate also. And if you use it on your tongue and palate, and particularly more closer to the throat, you will see all the phlegm comes out. And phlegm is one of the major causes of major diseases. How much, and in that we should also see our diet. And in our diet we should try and balance things. For example, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam had khajur, dates, then he used to have cucumber with it, to balance it. Dates are hot, cucumber is cold, to balance it. If your body, the temperament of the body becomes anything, that is what is called a sickness. A sickness, an illness in a body physically, when the balance goes out, you have too much of heat in your body, or too much of coldness in your body, too much of phlegm in your body. Phlegm is also required. Cholesterol is also required. Sugar is also required in the body. And salt, potassium is also required. But when the balance goes out, too much of one thing, too little of another thing. So anyway, the miswak, use it there. Use it on our gums also. And use it on the inner part of the cheeks also. The whole mouth. It's a cleanser. Mitharatul lilfam. For the whole mouth, it's a cleanser. Then see that the toothbrush can never compare with the miswak. If we use it and understand it correctly, there is no question where the toothbrush can ever come anywhere near the toothbrush as far as the cleanliness of the mouth also is concerned. But normally we only use the miswak on the teeth. And that also we just use it one way, either horizontally or vertically. Use it both ways. Clean your mouth, use it horizontally and then vertically up and down also. So that the things in between the crevices can also come out. Also to use a toothpick is also sunnah. So to remove the inner, whatever may be left of the food particles, to remove that. So anyway, so when a person does anything complete, then he gets the complete benefit. And if you only use it partially, then many times you even get the wrong impression. Like we gave the example of the tourist who went to the Merkaz in Nizamuddin, and he went as a tourist, and he looked at it with his eye, and he got a wrong picture of it. And he didn't get the right picture. So everything, so Ramadan also, for unfortunately, how many for children, what is Ramadan? Is having nice iftari, the dasturkhan, the table is full iftari time, and they look forward to that. Every day they're getting dessert, which out of Ramadan, occasionally they get. And all the other things, for some Ramadan is samosas, for some Ramadan is whatever else it is. So looking at it holistically, and trying, and the correct approach. So during the day is the roza, and the roza also, as we tried to explain, is not just staying hungry, much, much more than staying hungry. And if we keep roza, and we're not only staying hungry, then we'll have some idea of truly what the great ni'mat of roza is. Then it's impossible for a person to think that roza is a burden, that Allah Ta'ala has put a very hard command on us. He won't stop, when a person will realize it, he won't be able to stop thanking Allah for making rozas for us on earth. Just like that with every namaz also. If Allah give tawfiq, that when we're standing up for namaz, especially the faraz, that we make shukr to Allah that you made namaz for us on earth. But that person will do who is getting benefit from namaz, who is enjoying his namaz. If we are not enjoying our namaz, it will be like the namaz is a burden for us. Every hardly few hours pass, back to the masjid again. Every few hours. But when a person enjoys, he'll make shukr to Allah. And the shukr will be not only for namaz or for roza, but for all the whole deen which Allah has given us. What a perfect, what a wonderful way of life. The most balanced, the most beautiful, the most perfect, the most complete way of life Allah Ta'ala gave us. That لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was an embodiment of the deen, and from every aspect of his life, from every part of his body, from every whatever had to do with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was deen, and that was only beauty. So that beauty, that is what, if it comes into us, then we'll really appreciate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also. And then if we have Naat Sharif also, it won't be just words, but really an exposition and exclamation of what we are enjoying within ourselves, of how great our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was. So Allah make it that the whole of this of deen can come. This month of Ramadan, the whole month, every aspect of it. The Sehri, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam invited some Sahaba to Sehri, and he told them, come and partake of Barkat food. So the Sehri is particularly Barkat food. So if we look at it like that also, when we make our Sehri, not only that we are eating food and that, but we are eating Barkat food. It's got special connotation in it. The same thing with Iftari, with everything of Ramadan. So that by the day is the Roza, and the Roza also should be kept fully, all the aspects of Roza. And it should become a dini, a religious matter, not a hunger strike, not to lose a few kilos in Ramadan. Ramadan is not for dieting. In Ramadan I will lose some kilos. And a person really doesn't lose in Ramadan, because we're eating more food, and we are eating more rich food, and more unhealthy food in most cases. So the roza is during the day, and the night is for qiyam. And one great attachment of Ramadan, which cannot be separated from Ramadan, is Quran Sharif, which we have been discussing. And Quran Sharif should come alive in our lives. We should be living the Quran. We should be reading the Quran, contemplating on the Quran, studying the Quran, teaching the Quran, loving and respecting the Quran Sharif, and every propagating the message of the Quran Sharif. If each one of us think, how much do we propagate the message to even our lives? Are we sending out a message of the Quran to our family people, to our students, to even our murids, or are we sending out a different message? It should be the message of the Quran Sharif all the time. So we should be associated with the Quran Sharif. Then the night of Ramadan is for qiyam, for standing up in the ibadat of Allah, which particularly refers to namaz. So that namazes are, the main of this is the taraweeh namaz. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when in Ramadan he was making atikaf, then on one occasion, one night, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came out and he led the taraweeh prayers, he performed taraweeh. No announcement or anything. And whoever were present, they all partook of it, and they all enjoyed it very greatly. And what you enjoy, you go and talk about. So they spoke about it. So by the next night, many more Sahaba came. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came, and he performed taraweeh for them again. Again, they all enjoyed it. Also, no announcement or anything. Third night. Then the fourth night, lot, the whole masjid got full. But then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not come out. The Sahaba tried and draw the attention of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to come out from his tent where he was in Atikaf and perform. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not emerge. Afterwards he told them, I feared that perhaps by doing it regularly, Allah may make it a farad, and then it will be difficult on my ummah. We find that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in many matters, how he was concerned of the ummah. For example, with regard to miswak, that miswak will not be found everywhere Today, communication and transport of goods in from country to country, import, export has become easy. But there may be some people who can remember that here in South Africa, for example, to find a miswak was not easy. You couldn't buy anywhere. Today, alhamdulillah, miswaks are easily available. Anyway, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي. Had it not been, it become difficult for my ummah, لَأَمَرْتُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ الصَّلَاةِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةِ. I should have made miswak farz for them at every namaz. But because it was not going to be so easily available everywhere, and even today there may be many places still where miswak is not easily available. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was concerned with the ummah. Allah Ta'ala Himself had first made our namazes are actually 50 namazes a day, faraz namazes. 50 faraz namazes. But Allah Ta'ala and Allah's knowledge of everything, past, present and future is complete. Allah knew it will finally be 5. But Allah started making it first with 50. And today still, make shukr to Allah if for those Allah give us tawfiq to make our 5 times namaz, we get namaz of 50 namazes a day. What that should be enough to spur a person on to make all his namazes and to make them correctly, that we're doing only 5 namazes, just 2% of what was made for us, and we're getting the sawab of 50 namazes. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala in many things, He made it very, very easy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, whenever I was given a choice of 2 of matters, I chose the easier matter. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the Sahaba, if they did not practice on 10% of the deen, they will have problems. Latter part of my ummah, if they only practice on 10%, then their work will be done also. So everything has been made easy, and when deen has already been made easy, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam only chose the best for us. Jum'ah, which was offered to the Jews and Christians, but the Jews chose Saturday, Christians chose Sunday, whereas they were told Friday is the big day, but they were given the choice. The same to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He chose for us the right day for Friday. So in everything, we have been given the best and the easiest and the lightest. We have been given this ummah. In the previous ummahs, the things were made haram on them, not because they are actually haram, but because of the certain actions. As a punishment, it was made haram because of the certain action. In this ummah, only things which are harmful for us in our dunya's life, that Allah made it haram. Anything which is haram is a thing which is harmful for us. If we can't see it, if our eyes have become blinded, if we are squint-eyed, and we're seeing things skew and upside down, that is our problem. Otherwise, deen is a perfect deen, and Allah has given us only that which is good for us, what is necessary for us. And what is more necessary, Allah made that for us. And the greatest need is iman. And iman is la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, the very basics and the crux of iman. And that Allah made it easily available. In our daily lives, oxygen is the most important. Allah made it freely available for everyone. And we didn't have to buy a machine in order to inhale. If we don't have water, and there isn't municipal water also, but there is water underground. It's an expense and it's a job to have a borehole dug, then to put the tanks to get a pump to pump the water up. Everything that goes with it is a big job. So oxygen is freely available. But if we did not have the mechanism, our lungs, and we had to go and purchase a set of lungs in order to be able to breathe, or if we had to go and learn how to breathe, a child doesn't go to school, doesn't go to madrasa, doesn't go to university to learn to breathe in and out. It's just Allah. فَمَنْ رَبُّكُمَا يَا مُوسَى. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked, who is your Rabb, O Musa? He said that رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Allah, my Allah, is that Allah who gives everything its structure, who makes everything, who is the architect, who is the contractor, the builder, who is the producer, who makes everything, and then He puts it on cause also itself. Allah made the eyes, and Allah gave eyesight to the eyes. Allah gave the ears, and Allah put the faculty of hearing in the ears. Allah made the tongue, and Allah made the faculty of speech in the tongue. All this Allah did. No child goes and learns how to speak. He just speaks naturally his language of his house. A human being's child automatically looks for the breast of the mother for milk. He doesn't go on the ground pecking in the ground. A chicken, on the other hand, never looks for the breast of its mother for its rosy. It will immediately, without anything, it will start pecking in the ground and look for its rosy there. Allah made it for everyone. So this month, if we do everything holistically, then we will get the benefit. And then the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we can understand, if my ummah knew what Ramadan is, my ummah will wish the whole year must be Ramadan. But that is when we know not only what rozas are, but the whole of Ramadan, every aspect of it, the sabr of Ramadan, the charity of Ramadan, the qiyam of Ramadan, the siyam of Ramadan, and each one again in its reality and its haqiqat, not only the name of it, or not only the picture of it. Roza, for those people where roza is only to stay hungry, they are just too happy Ramadan is getting finished. But those who know that what you gain in your roza, those who kept roza and who are keeping roza is supposed to be kept, and you get the delivery of the goods from roza, what you are supposed to get, sabr, restraint, all those things which you start getting, then a person will appreciate roza. And then for him, 6 rozas of Shawwal will not be a burden. He will be just too eager and too happy to keep them. Those ladies who must their rozas in Ramadan because of their menstrual periods, it won't be a burden for them to keep. And they won't wait and let the rozas accumulate of years and years. In Shawwal, 1 month, they will keep all that roza. And they will keep their 6 rozas also. But that is when we know what it is. Allah make it that the ummah comes to find out that it's not just a month of keeping rozas or a month of some strenuous efforts and exercises of getting up for sehri, of tarabih 20 rakats, but there is something much more greater. So anyway, when Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam made the tarawih and he did not come out, then the tarawih became sunnat muakkada. And this was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had big things to handle. Just when Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam passed away, there were major challenges that were facing the Muslims. They were the enemies all the time, and they were still enemies even. And they wanted to annihilate, and this was the ideal occasion that when their leader, their master, who they loved so much, who was their guide, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he has passed away now Islam must die with Nabi alayhi wa sallam. And that happens to many movements and many other institutions. The founder, when he passes away, the thing also dies away with him. But those who, and Islam, it teaches us that set your foundation such a way that it is not connected with you as a person. Yet the ideology, like for example, Dioban is not the town of Dioban, what we call Diobandi school of thought. It's not the town, it's not the Darul Uloom, it's not the bricks and the cement and the plaster, it's not the daily program of Darul Uloom. It is a concept, it is an ideology, it is a way of thinking. And the person who started it, Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah, he did not make himself big. He made Islam big. He made the ideology big. So it carries on after you. And when you work for it for yourself, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, the ikhlas that Maulana had, he did not make the work of the bliss that is me, that I'm somebody. But the work, the Islam must come alive. And we find that, mashallah, it carried on and carrying on still. So here also, Islam is necessary that we understand that Islam is not just a few titles or few concepts, but it is a complete way of life. And a way of life not only for Akhirat. In fact, Allah mentions dunya first. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. And this can only come, hasana in dunya can only come if we have Islam, the true Islam. Not the picture of Islam, not the name of Islam. Wa fil akhirah, and in akhirah also. And one of the greatest things, wa qina adhab an-nar, to save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam, which is a reality. And a mu'min should like be feeling that fire. And whenever any haram comes off, whether it is in food matters, whether it is in what is eyes looking at woman, it is like fire actually that is going to burn him. They should feel that way. Speaking a lie, backbiting, it should be like that fire actually. And it should like you are feeling that fire, and nobody can go near fire. In fact, a person runs from the fire. If he can put it off, he will put it off. Otherwise, he'll run from the fire. And the best way to put out a fire is Allahu Akbar. When Allahu Akbar is pronounced, and what is reality, the fire just goes down itself. And so this is, so Islam deen is the solution to all the fitnas also. So Allah give us tawfiq inshallah to bring this whole deen into our lives. So with regard to that, the rozas which we discussed for quite a few days, Allah make it, if it hasn't touched us, and we are still not even thinking of keeping rozas like that, then unfortunately, it must not be that our time was wasted. That we are still not keeping, we haven't got any idea, and Allah is not coming in our eyes. Still, khairullah is coming in our eyes. Our dunya, and we are obsessed with that. If our namazes haven't become namaz, in namaz also we are still thinking of ghairullah all the time. So our thinking, our hearts, the roza was supposed to purify the heart and the mind and bring only Allah. That in everything we only see Allah. Allah everywhere. Allah outside also, Allah inside also. Allah in our azans also, Allah in our minaras and our mihrab also, Allah. Wherever our public life, Allah, our private life, Allah, our lives with our families, Allah, our lives with our friends, Allah, everywhere, Allah. So this, if it, that comes into a person, and Allah, who is the most beautiful, who is the most kind, who is the most merciful, who, and being the most powerful, but the most kind and merciful, that qualities will come into us then. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. And when the person has those qualities, it's impossible that he cannot be loved. And problems in the house cannot come. There will be love, there will be understanding. In the community, every person will love such a person and will be eager to be in his company and be close to that person. How much we bring deen into our heart. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his magnet was not just as long as he lived, but till today, right now, at Rozae Mubarak, how many guards are required to control the crowd who want to come and show their love to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, who want to just make salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. What a magnet. That is all this deen of Islam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not keep Islam and a deen to himself. But he gave it, he came to give it, to distribute it, and share it with everyone. How much we get of that, Allah give us tawfiq. So one great namaz is the namaz of Taraweeh. So when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the challenges that he faced, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, just go a bit into that on the one side, the Roman Empire, the Roman Emperor, of the time, He was coming with an army of 200,000 strong to destroy Medina Sharif. Just like the Trump and of America, that he wants to bring hell to Gaza and all like that. They wanted to bring it to Medina Sharif and destroy. Then on the other hand, we find that Musaylamah al-Kadhab claimed Nabuwat. And then we find that a certain tribe, they said, Mani'een zakat. They refused to pay the zakat. There were many fitnas, all four sides around. And on the one side, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam had made tashkil of the Jamaat of Usama ibn Zayd. And he had dispatched the Jamaat also. And this Jamaat was at a distance of some kilometers away from Medina Sharif. It was dispatched when the news came that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam had passed away. Now, must this Jamaat carry on or not? That was also a question, a burning question. So, and at the same time, the question of Khilafat, who will be the next Khalifa? The new Khalifa has to be chosen also. And in that, the Ansar and the Muhajireen, they had a separate Mashuras also, that who will be the next Amir. And so that was carrying on at that time also. And then the burial of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who will be the imam? Who will make the janazah namaz? Where must Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam be buried? So there were major, major things. So Hazrat Abu Bakr, in his short life of his khilafat, he had to handle not only at that time, but all these major, major issues. We can't imagine that what a burden or what a duty and responsibility was on Hazrat Abu Bakr. And of course, it was nobody else who could handle that, not even Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. That was meant for Hazrat Abu Bakr to handle it at that time. And Hazrat Abu Bakr at that time said that the Jamaat of Usama, that Jamaat will go out. It won't stop. Hazrat Umar came to intercede. Hazrat Umar, who took permission from Hazrat Zayd, when they were out in Jamaat, and a man like Hazrat Umar was the second Khalifa of Islam. لَوْكَانَ بَعْدِ نَبِيٌ لَكَانَ عُمَرُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلِيْسَ. But he was under a young 17-year-old boy of Isa Imarat. He took permission, he came back to Medina Sharif. And then, this discussion took place that what should happen. All the Sahaba, together with Hazrat Umar, were all decided that that Jamaat should not go now. We should be here to protect Medina Sharif. Hazrat Abu Bakr, one man alone. And here we see the majority is those who are on the right. Hazrat Abu Bakr alone had this view that no matter what happens, this Jamaat will go. They say this Jamaat of the Roman Empire is coming. The Romans are coming, 200,000 strong. And they will completely destroy Medina Sharif. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time said that if the Azwaji Mutahharat, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, if there's nobody to protect them and they get killed and there's nobody to bury their bodies and the wild animals of the deserts come and eat them and Abu Bakr himself is alone here, only man left. And if he also can't defend himself, and he also gets killed, and his body, there is nobody to bury his body, and the wild animals come and eat it, that I can tolerate. But one change in the deen of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that cannot be tolerated. How, what importance Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose whole life he gave for the deen of Islam. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, those people who were giving zakat, and just that rope or the string to fasten the animal, was, if that was part of zakat and they stopped giving so much, a little bit of the zakat, what is due on them, I will make jihad with those people. What will we call today such a person? Our good people, we'll call him as an extremist, and he's not expedient. At the moment, there are more other issues. But what Iman Hazrat Abu Bakr had, and this is a lesson for us. Allah could have made it the easy way that everything just falls in its place. But Allah showed the ummah a lesson. But today we don't take any lesson from it. We don't think of this also. And we don't take any lesson that what was it and how Hazrat Abu Bakr handled the situation. And that through that barakat, today 1400 years, Islam has spread in the whole world. Taraweeh today is not only in every masjid in the world, but Taraweeh is in so many houses, in so many warehouses, so many offices, so many shops, so many storerooms, where and where Taraweeh is taking place. In the whole, there's all the barakat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Khulafa'i Rashideen. And in the Khulafa'i Rashideen, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, how he is, and when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave him the view that this Jamaat of Usama must not go out, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu held Hazrat Umar by his collar and he said that a jabbarun fil jahiliyyah and a jabbanun fil Islam, where in the days of jahiliyyah you are a very strong man and now you have become weak and now you are softening up and you are not standing for Islam. And he said, Allah put it in my heart that what Abu Bakr had decided, that was the correct thing. And then all the Jama'at, all the Sahaba fully supported Hazrat Abu Bakr. And we all saw the benefits of it. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to bring the whole of Islam at all times. Not to look at expediency, not to look at what is now. This all is when we're giving way, making leeway and loopholes for our nafs to come into the matter. Because we want to save ourselves. We don't want to dedicate ourselves. We don't want to give ourselves. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for everything, his life was Islam. And Allah chose him to be the first Khalifa. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that this month of Ramadan, that we bring the whole month of Ramadan into our lives and appreciate what was given. So in the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr, there wasn't a time to pay attention to all the details. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then he, with the consensus of all the Sahaba, they made Taraweeh, which was 20 rakats, and now it was just made official. And from that time, 1400 years, the Taraweeh carried on. And we all, in our lifetime, we know in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, Taraweeh was 20 rakats. It's only now since this COVID time that also, unfortunately, they have changed. Otherwise, all the Salafis, wherever they are, they had no answer to the fact that Makkah Sharif 20 rakats Taraweeh, Medina Sharif 20 rakats Taraweeh. So Allah, the 20 rakats of Taraweeh is a great ibadah. And we should, and just see, one friend of ours was telling us where there are a lot of Salafis in their town, and many masjids also are on the Salafi line. But those people don't go and make the Taraweeh in the Salafi masjid. They say Taraweeh is only 8 rakats, but they come and make it with the Hanafis. And why they make it? That shows clearly, my marhuma mother-in-law, in their family from India, there were a lot of Ahle Hadith who are the Salafis. Yeah, we call them Salafis, Saudi Salafis. In India, Pakistan, they are called the Ahle Hadith. So knowing their inner life, she said, yeah, koi Ahle Hadith nahi, it is not Ahle Hadith, Ahle Khabith. They just want Khabasat, evil. So why they come to the Hanafi in Masjid for Taraweeh? Because yeah, we read less. In 8 rakats, you read the whole Quran, Sharif. And in 20 rakats, you read the whole Quran. So it's much more less you reading, less than half the amount. In 8 rakats, you have to read more than what we read to complete the super. So that's too hard for them to stand for that. So they come by the Hanafis. But when 8 rakats are finished, then they become pakka Salafis again. That we can't read the 9th rakat also. Now we have to leave and then they go out. So they're not even Salafis, they're not Hanafis. And what are they? Halafis. What is a Halafi? A person who pretends to be a Hanafi, but he is a Salafi. And he just tells the people, I'm a Hanafi, I follow my Hanafi mazhab. So therefore that they come here. Yeah. For other things, so that is all just a hogwash. It is all rubbish. follow properly they don't follow Islam. Is based firstly on the Quran Sharif. After that, the Hadith, the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Third is Ijma, which the ulama of the Ummah gather on. And that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared that the Ummah, the ulama of the Ummah will not become unanimous on any wrong thing. The whole, when the ulama are unanimous. And then the fourth after that is Qiyas, to make Qiyas. So as far as Ijma is concerned, unanimity. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, 100% unanimity of the Sahaba, 20 rakat Taraweeh namaz. And that was the namaz which he had brought in of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not that he, Taraweeh is not Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala's namaz. Namaz of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Like the Hijri calendar was also not in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu in his time of Khilafat. So the details of the Islamic administration and things took place gradually, and all became complete and perfect in all its finer details later on. So Taraweeh also, so when we stand for our Taraweeh, realize we are standing for the namaz of the Ijma of the Sahaba, the namaz of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Today unanimously it is called Sunnat-e-Muakkada. And it is a Sunnat-e-Muakkada, and it's very great important. And the rewards for Taraweeh are very, very great. And we should do it with an open heart. What is meant thereby? That when we start our namaz, when the imam starts, start then. When the imam gets up for his 11th rakat, for his 16th rakat, we mustn't be sitting and waiting for the imam to go in ruku. Then quickly we jump up and we make our call and we join the namaz. Now from the beginning, and with enthusiasm we should look forward. And for the vast majority of the ummah, the Taraweeh namaz is the only occasion that we get to hear a good reading of the Quran Sharif. Otherwise the vast majority of the ummah, our own reading is very poor. Our makharij, our pronunciation of alphabets and other rules of tajweed, we don't even know them. How many people who know them but don't apply them? We don't even know them, where are we going to apply them? But in most cases, the Taraweeh, we get good Quran Sharif. There may be some weaknesses, and if there are, then on the other hand, there are those exceptional, beautiful Taraweehs also, where the readers of the Quran Sharif read not only with their tongue, but with their heart. And what a wonderful Taraweeh carries on in the world presently also. So everywhere it's our duty collectively to see that we have the best readers also. And the Taraweeh is not today the best Taraweeh. The most coveted, the most desired Taraweeh is the Taraweeh that is the earliest. Even if the Adhan is before Isha time. And it is that Taraweeh which is the fastest. Whether you can't even make out whether it's Ya'alamun, Ta'alamun. It's just going, flowing, and you don't know what is being read also. And you just see ruku, sijda. That is not called Taraweeh. And the word Taraweeh is a plural of Tarweeha. And Tarweeha is the rest that is taken. After every two rakats, the rest. After four rakats, the rest. So it is a multiplication of of five tarweehas. Five times or four times I was sitting after every four rakats. That is the tarweeha. And the plural of it, taraweeh. That means it's a namaz of many rests. But we made it a namaz full of rush. That we just rushing through the namaz. One is, there are so many people. Many, many sweets are that you must suck them. But many are, you just put it in the mouth and they crush them, especially children. And the mothers have to teach them, you must suck the sweet. Not crush it and eat it like that. Taraweeh is to be enjoyed like that. Taraweeh is not a namaz just to wait when it gets over. That our competition, whose Taraweeh finishes first in town. who is the fastest Taraweeh, and record kept of minutes, or perhaps seconds also, that how long we take for Taraweeh. Now, Namaz Taraweeh is to be looked forward. It is that great ibadat, and really the opportunity to connect with Allah Ta'ala, the opportunity to listen to correct Quran Sharif. And today, alhamdulillah, like here in South Africa, many of us might not even be knowing about it, but there was that time that there were very few masajid, but even in those few masajid, most of the masajid, very, very few had Quran Sharif Taraweeh. Otherwise, it was just from Alam Tara, mostly, most of the masajid, in the major centers also. And the few masajid, they had to import huffaz from other places. They didn't have huffaz locally also. And that was also a time when most of the hafizas shouldn't keep beards also. And if you bring a hafiz to read the prayer, but then the other objection, he hasn't got a beard. So do you have full Quran Sharif Taraweeh, or you have Taraweeh of Alam Tara with a person with a beard? So that also used to become a major issue everywhere. Today, alhamdulillah, where, how many Taraweehs in one town? Perhaps I think in Azadwell, easily 50 places Taraweeh must be. And everywhere, not only here, everywhere. That was a time when no hafiz was found to make Taraweeh. Now a hafiz doesn't find place to make Taraweeh. He has to get his own friends and start somewhere at home, wherever to make. We should make shukr and we should move forward. So the reality. So Ramadan was come with the Taraweeh also. And Taraweeh, where it is compulsory in the sense that it is sunnat and muakkada for the man, it is equally the same with woman. Till very, very long, till very lately, women just felt that Taraweeh is not for them. For them, there is no Taraweeh namaz. And alhamdulillah, our efforts of deen that are taking place, now many women also realize that Taraweeh is also, but also women's namaz, man's namaz also, but even more faster is woman's namaz. What Appa says at home, when we go like on Safar or any other time also, some women, before they say Allahu Akbar, they're already making salam. It's like they're making salam before they even say Allahu Akbar. So fast that namaz, up and down, quickly and just salam and finish. And very much that is the case. The women till today, their namazes are generally, they are, mashallah, those who take their time and make their namaz properly, which is required, that your Taraweeh properly. And many, many, even now for Taraweeh, they ask for masalas, how to just rush through Taraweeh. Like it's a burden, just to get over it. So as for men, we should take our time. It doesn't mean make the people tired and they go over the limit also, but in a nice way, 2 hour Taraweeh nicely. And the same is for the woman also. They should also take their time and make the Taraweeh properly. Not that they don't make it, or that they rush through it. They should also make it. And this is the beautiful ibadat of the night. The day, whole day you kept rozas. A great namat of Allah Ta'ala, that we kept roza the whole day. Now the night is to be beautified with these ibadahs, the Taraweeh in Ramadan. Every night, the awwabin after Maghrib, then the tahajjud, and qiyam al-layl, whom Allah gives tawfiq, and you may spend the whole night in namaz, or major part of the night, especially in Ramadan, or the odd nights. But that also we should be careful, what is commonly known. Yeah, alhamdulillah, I don't think it is important in South Africa, but India and Pakistan, where they have what they call Shabina, where they finish the whole Quran in one night. And that also made a big mockery. The Quran is completed with the Imam reading, and the other people are partying all the time. They only come and take part at the beginning of the namaz and at the end. In between, they're not there also. And they are partying, having tea parties, having all food, etc. And like a big mockery. So that is not Qiyam-e-Layl. Qiyam-e-Layl is our Buzurg. They finish Taraweeh namaz, and after that, they had hufas to lead them in prayer, in namaz, and then they should read for them right till sehri time. Then they should make their tahajjud. According to some ulama, qiyam-e-layl and tahajjud is the same namaz. According to others, they differentiate between the two namazes. So anyway, so every night is our awabin. And then the taraweeh in Ramadan. And if we make qiyam-e-layl, and then the tahajjud in the last part of the night. At the time of tahajjud, we will explain that. It starts immediately after Isha namaz is finished. The time, this is the awwal time. But the best time is the last sixth of the night. That is the best time. So inshallah, our taraweeh, give that also due importance. Do it properly. Look forward with enthusiasm. And especially if we are not half it. And then listen properly. Try and listen properly to it. And we know that taraweeh, where the mistakes are also taken out. Something that needs to be repeated is repeated again. Sometimes when two rakats of namaz, some such mistake was made, it has to be repeated. Allah gives us the opportunity that we not hafiz ourselves. We can't read Quran Sharif properly. Maybe some of us can't read Quran Sharif at all. Yeah, we're getting it ready on the plate. Yeah, it is read out to us. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, throughout the world, the level and the quality of Quran Sharif reading has improved tremendously of what it was. Islam, in what I saw in my life, in the 70s was at the lowest ebb. That was the time when even in Haramain Sharifain, Makkah and Medina Sharif, Quran Sharif, most of the Quran copies, they were torn, tattered, neglected, not kept neat. But now you see how the Quran Sharifs are kept. That even if there's just a little drizzle, they got that plastic to cover the Quran Sharif. And there are people all the time to move them away from where they are in the open, where to move the Quran Sharif, looking after the Quran Sharif. And once, one suffer, to my utter amazement, there was a military man. He made namaz, and he made namaz with his boots on. But anyway, when one of the musallis put the Quran Sharif on the ground, he reprimanded him. At one time, it was common in Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, they had no qualms of putting the Quran Sharif on the ground. But now those very people, they're giving the respect for the Quran Sharif. So the love of the Quran, the respect of the Quran Sharif is very, very important. Taraweeh, let us open our hearts and make it not just because we have to make it, but look forward to it. Make shukr to Allah, He gave us 20 rakats of Taraweeh. And make shukr to those ulama who have to listen to all types of criticism and they have to go through what and prove the point that Taraweeh is 20 rakats. Otherwise, if they also give in, like unfortunately on many other things ulama give in, then all the wrong things come in. The 8 rakats Taraweeh, people are by nature lazy, want easy. But then make full Quran in 8 rakats. Then people will run from the 8 rakats of the Salafis. And they prefer coming to the doors of the Hanafis and make the 20 rakats here. So make our namaz. And it is so well spaced also. And very, very important. The half is also, like in the Haramain Sharifain, though they read with much more, they take much more time in reading the Quran Sharif. Especially when it was the 20 rakat. But the very important thing is to balance the rakat. According to the 13-line Quran, most of the suparas have got 28 pages. 20, 22, 24, and 30. And the first have got little less. Then from 25, 26, 27, 28 have got more pages. 29 is the longest supara. So the other, generally it's 28. So if they read 2.5 pages in every 2 rakats, they'll finish 25 pages. Then the other 3 pages, if they just half pages, they add on. Then if you read balance, like more or less 1.5 page, one page. First rakat 1.5 page, second rakat 1 page. Then a person doesn't forget tired. You don't read too long. And when you read too short, sometimes the hafiz reads up to 3, 3.5, 4 pages in one rakat. He must then, other rakats read half a page, quarter page. So when you read less also, then also it's just up and down, up and down. But if you balance it properly, about 1.5 page, 1 page, then you don't feel the burden, you don't feel the strain in any way. Burden is out of the question. You won't feel the strain of Tarawih. 20 rakats and you won't feel tired also. So Allah give us the tawfiq that the Tarawih be done properly and with enthusiasm, and the du'as after the 4 rakats. Spend the time in your individual zikr. And one great zikr that also each one of us should consider. How much am I making it? La ilaha illallah, nastaghfirullah, nas'alullah al-jannah, wa na'udhu billahi minan nar. Each one of us think and say to ourselves, am I reading it 10 times a day? Am I reading it 100 times a day? The ideal dua, very beautiful dua between the 4 rakats. But in any case, which has been emphasized by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a dua you can't do without. A dua which Allah loves. But ask ourselves, especially those who are in i'tikaf, how many times a day am I reading it? Am I reading it 10 times a day? Am I reading it 50 times a day? Or am I not reading it at all? Right? If it's not, then it shows our very poor appreciation and our very poor response to the call of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah.